Okay, the point of departure again for this rush that we began to question yesterday is the assumption that seems to be clear in the Gemara. B'chara, that's how Rashi learns and the Rif learns, that the Gemara ultimately comes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah's din about chametz, malveh ala chametz by a Nachri who's malveh a Yisrael, or the other way around, the safe of the Mishnah, a Yisrael that's malveh a Nachri. So in both cases, the din of the Mishnah is that the chametz is viewed as belonging to the malveh. Nafgamina for after Pesach. That's the statement of the Mishnah. The question is why that is so. For Abaye, we understand it well. Mafeh Hugoveh, question? Okay, Mafeh Hugoveh, and seems to be no need for any ukimta whatsoever. Again, remember, everything goes back to the Gemara. When the Gemara, for the first time, addresses this Mishnah, vis-a-vis Machokas Abai V'Rava, the Gemara says, Tanan, we have this Mishnah, it says, Iyam Ibisho Mafeh Hugoveh, so everything is good. According to Rava, what do we make of this? Why do we view it as the chametz of the malveh, not the chametz of the loveh? So the Gemara initially says, hirhino. So what do you see immediately? That according to Abaye, there's no need for hirhino. Whatever you're going to think about hirhino, there's no need for it. The Mishnah is a slam dunk for Abaye. It's the mafeh ugoveh. Nothing more need to be added in the Mishnah. Clear? I'm building it from the sugya. I'm not giving you like, trust me, I'm saying this. It's the Gemara. Right? The Gemara. Hirhino is an answer for Rava. Now, that doesn't help completely, because the Gemara proceeds, again, in the Gemara, it says, wait a second, we have a Braisa, which has, again, a Machlokes. In the first case of the Braisa is Yisrael Shehova, and we have a Machlokes. The Gemara thinks it's totally in the Machlokes of Iva Rava. It says, Gemara, that can't be. Look at the Sefer. The Sefer says that by Nachri Shehova, everyone agrees over. Says the Gemara, so what's the pshat in the Braisa? The Braisa case is a case of Hino, and we bring in Rabbi Yitzchak, and we explain what's going on in the Braisa. The Braisa is about Machokas, first of all, whether Rabbi Yitzchak's din of Konen Mashkin applies if it's a Yisrael who's a Malveh, does he get a Kinyan in the Loveh Nachri's Mashkin? Because the Pasuk Chati Yitzchak is Yisrael be Yisrael, Machokas Tanoi. The safe of the Braisa, where we don't say it's the Malveh's Chametz, that's the Nachri who's a Malveh, is because we know for sure Nachri doesn't have a Kinyan Mashkin. So then the Gemara revisits the Mishnah. So we have our Mishnah that says, again back to Rava, that it's always considered the Chametz of the Malveh. Says the Gemara, but you just, what did you tell me? So now it's the last thing, the last word that we said on the Mishnah to defend Rava, Hirhino. Says the Gemara, but you just got finished telling me that Hirhino, by a Nachri, there's no Kinyan Mashkin. So we're back to the problem. What's Rava going to do with the Mishnah? Says Gemara, lo kasha. Now, there's no Ella in the Gemara. That's what's interesting. Lo kasha. Had amar me'achshav, had amar me'achshav. Now we're introducing another element to this sugya. We've been discussing Mafeo Gove. We've been discussing Kinyan Mashkin. Now we have this idea called me'achshav, which again we have to look at also more carefully. Me'achshav. Pashut me'achshav means that the Lova says to the Malveh b'shas havah, a tnai, ki'ilu, I'm giving it to you. Sounds like there's a kinyan taking place, u'chara. You're going to have it from now, but there's a condition. If I don't pay you at that time, it's yours right now. And that's the Mishnah. So the Mishnah can work for Rava with me'achshav. The Braisa is not me'achshav, but the Braisa has to fall back on the question of kinyan mashkin. Kinyan mashkin? Oh. By Yisrael b'nachri's machokes, nachri b'Yisrael, no kinyan mashkin, and therefore the lovis chametz. But the Mishnah, which says it's always viewed as the malvis chametz, be it the nachri, be it the Yisrael, and nafkamina after Pesach, is going to be a function of me'achshav. So we have a chorah two mahalchim in the Mishnah left after the sugi runs its course. We have Abaye, Mafeh Hugoveh, nothing more need to be said. And we have Rava that the Gemara brings in the Mishnah, the notion called Me'achshav. And all of this is nafkamina, not just for Mishas Pesach, but after Pesach, what is the status of this Chametz? Was it viewed as Chametz to Yisrael of Pesach, or Chametz to Nachri? Depends who the Malveh was. But the issue is, it still has to be addressed, and that's what the Rush and the Rid and everyone is addressing, is what the Gemara says, Lo Kash, and what does it say, Ella? So the assumption is, and this is what comes out when you read the Rishonim, that the Gemara is still staying with the Hirhino. Hirhino, that there was the Mishnah talking about Pesach, that it was deposited by the Malva. And at the time of the deposit, time of the Halvah, the Lova said, if I don't pay, then it's yours Me'achshav. And the question is, what is this? What are these two conditions that you need for the Mishnah to be valid, to understand that it's always the Malva's Chametz, that it has to be, that he said Me'achshav, and has to be Hirhino. Me'achshav, we understand. That's the whole point of why it's his from the beginning, and that's why it's viewed as having been his chametz throughout Pesach. What do you need? So what do you need? Hirhino. And again, if Abaye, we don't need Hirhino. Right? Because it's clear from the Gemara. Okay. So let's take a look at the Lashon HaTur. Everyone has a copy? Yeah, please.
Are you assuming that we also apply Me'achshav to the Sefer with the Mishnah?
I think so. In other words, in both cases, the reason why it's, if you want to say Kinyan Mashkin would be sufficient if you hold like one Manda Amar,
right.
If you have a Rino. But again, we don't know that we have to go with Rav Meir. And L'chor, the Ukimta that we do in the Reisha is the same Ukimta. Why should you assume the Reisha flipped two different cases? So I think whatever it is in the Reisha is in the Sefer. So you'd have to assume that the Kinyan Mashkin wouldn't be enough, and it would be based on the Me'achshav, and for some reason, Hirhino with it. Yeah. Wait. Follow up, yeah.
So even according to Rabbi Meir, who says that the Jew is kind of a mashal?
I think under Rabbi Meir you wouldn't need Me'achshav.
Right, you wouldn't need it, but you can still say this is just a new din. This Mishnah isn't even talking about Rabbi Yitzchak.
But if the Yitzchak is in fact a given, if it was given as a mashkin, if that's in fact a din, then
you have it.
Yeah.
So, aside from the fact that it's not part of the Shaka of Parashat Gemara, how does Abaye get out of Rabbi Meir?
This is the kasha head-on on what the Rashi is going to say. In other words, like this. Let's speak outside. Then I'll tell you, we'll see Lashon HaRashi again, Lashon HaTur. If one way to explain why you need Hirhino if you have Me'achshav, and that's a simple way to answer it, is because there has to be a kinyan that takes place at the time that the Mashkin, that there is Me'achshav. So what is it that allows the Malva to have it from this moment on? When the Lova defaults, it's viewed as considered to be the Malva's Chametz from now. There has to be a Maisa Kinyan. Now, if you learn Me'achshav in the most simple way, which could be the other ways to learn Me'achshav, but for now we're going to take it simple. It's basically Hakanah, I'm making it to you. So I can do that. I can say, here, take hold of it, do Mashicha, and I'm telling you that it's yours, Maisa Kinyan, Das Makna, you do Maisa Kinyan. But I'm putting a tenai here. But this that I'm telling you that it's yours is only if I end up not paying later. So I reserve the right that if the condition is not met because I pay the chov, then this entire all bets are off and there's no kin. So that's the most simple way to formulate what Me'achshav is. So what obviously has to happen is there has to be a Maisa Kinyan taking place at the time that the Lova supplies the Mashkin and says Me'achshav, what makes it that the Malvez Mikona Me'achshav, he had to do Maisa Kinyan. So the Maisa Kinyan is L'chara Meshicha. So he's obviously giving it to him and saying, okay, hold on to it, take it. So Mele, that's why you have Hirhino, because that's the Maisa Kinyan that he did Meshicha. Okay, but if that were true, says the Drid, then you really don't need Dafke Hirhino for the sake of whatever reason you need Hirhino. It's simply about a Maisa Kinyan. So let's say I would be makna to you through some Kinyan like Agav Karka or whatever, which could work. So as far as we're concerned, the Chometz could still be sitting in the Rishus HaLover for Pesach, but the Kinyan was through that Agav Karka, and there was an understanding of Me'achshav, and it doesn't need to have been mamish physically placed in the Rishus HaLover. And in the Chanan, that's what he says. So the reason why we just sticking with Hirhino is a technical reason. Now, all this is all true for Rav. Would Abaye need Hirhino? Obviously not. There'd be no need for a Maisa Kinyan. Because that's, whatever you'll say is Mafehu Govet somehow works, it's self-defining. What is the Maisa Kinyan Mafehu Govet? We don't really know. We could suggest all kinds of things. Maybe the Kesef, maybe the very mechanism called Kinyan, called Shibud. But Maisa, you don't need Hirhino, you don't need a Maisa Kinyan right now, you just need the idea that Mafehu Govet. So Mafehu Govet gives it to the Malva from the time that the Shibud starts. Once he collects later, that's considered to be his Mishavishona. So obviously Abaye doesn't need a Rino, and Rava needs a Rino only because Me'achshav needs a Maisa Kinyan. Okay, this is maybe one simple way to work it out. Now, you look at the Rush, and it doesn't sound like the Rush is saying that. And clearly the Magen Avraham sees a machlokes between the Rush and the Rid, and the Riyaz, which would suggest that the Rush would hold, even if I did a Maisa Kinyan, I did Agav Karka, it would still be insufficient if it wasn't Hirhina. Now, let's just look with me at the tour, because the way we learn Pshat in the Rush, the one who's famous for learning Pshat that way, even though, again, it's not the only way to learn, is the Bach. So the Bach says it in commenting on the tour. He says, this is Pshat in the Rush. The tour is, of course, the son of the Rush. So let's just look at the tour in Taf Mem Aleph. This is where this entire sugya is found. Two sifim in Shulchan Aruch, Taf Mem Aleph and Aruch Chaim. Let us read the words just to get comfortable. Nachri Shehilba LeYisrael, the words of the tour here. Everyone see it? Nachri Shehilba LeYisrael Al-Chemso. A Nachri lends the Jew for the chametz being supplied as a mashkin, as a collateral. U'mishkino biyado. Mishkino biyado means what? Another way of saying that? One word? Hirhina. Mishkino biyado. V'amalo ha-Yisrael. And the Jew, the Lova says to the non-Jew, the Malveh, it's yours from now if I don't pay you at that set time, the due date. Time comes and doesn't pay. Mutter. Why is it mutter? Because it's acquired by the Malva Hanachri. Okay, that's part one. Avo. Now look how explicit the Torah is. Avo, im chasar echad me'elu. If one of these conditions is not met, which conditions? Hirhino and me'achshav. Meaning, shelo mishkino biyado, means it was not hirhino. O shelo amalam me'achshav. Or sheparo bismano, or it paid him. So then the whole condition falls away. Us. Avo, kishayeshnan kol shelashtan. So one of the three conditions. Mishkino biyado, me'achshav, and he defaulted. Good? Then, afal pishelo giyaz man shekav aracha pesach, this is going to be the issue with the Rambam, but he's saying now the Lokar Rambam, that even though this man, the due date was after Pesach, mutter. That's the tour on record. Go ahead, yeah.
Isn't this Mishnah, like, the word, like, having a problem with the Rush, like you started with yesterday, isn't the Mishnah itself just problematic? Meaning, as we were talking about the Seder, that in the end of the day, whatever we're reducing from the ratio, that in the ratio, the two factors that are making you puff that according to Rava is the Harhina and the Ma'achshav. So once one of those falls away, we inherently understand
it's a little bit machan, it's a little bit chavetz.
So then, like, the safe is going to be like difficult no matter what. Like, not
the safe is just the image of the ratio. That's all. Either way, the principle is the same. That the chametz is viewed as the malvis mashkin. When we look at the whole picture, how it all unfolded, it's viewed as the chametz of the malva. So what's bothering you? It's true in one direction, ukula, if it's nachri is the malva. It's true in the lechumra, if Yisrael is the malva. But what is it that makes it the malva's chametz? These factors. According to Rava, that is. The fact that it was me'achshav, and with Rehino, for some reason that's also part of the equation, and of course he defaulted. And then it becomes seen as retroactively the Malvis, in which case the implications are for after Pesach, whether it's considered a Chametz of a Jew, Chametz of a Dajjah. That's basically the whole Mishnah. Just one application is with the non-Jew being the Malvis, first part of the Mishnah. And the Sefer is when the Jew is the Malvis. Same exact principles.
But just with the ratio of the Mishnah, couldn't we have learned out like the...
Yes, that the Mishnah gives you the same principle and applies in both directions, with Kula and Lechum. The Torah is going to get to the safe in a second. That's what I wanted to... Now, the next part, we haven't really addressed in the Rush yet, but just, if you have, you probably saw it in Seder, so just read it. This has to be looked at for itself. The Ram Hogis, Ram and the Ravid. This is our new... The Ram brings another condition. As if we're struggling away with these conditions. If he know Me'achshav, now we're going to throw in a whole new monkey wrench. I don't think we'll get this today. Maybe, hopefully, tomorrow. This new Rambam, Aval HaRab Ephraim, they bring from Ben Ephraim, Kosav, Pesach. The Torah also, the Rush also quotes this, Rambam disagrees with him. The Rambam throws a new condition into the Mishnah that the due date was before Pesach. Wow, interesting. Why? We have to know why that should be. This has to do with something someone raised maybe yesterday in Shir. Okay. Right? What kind of what kind of business is that? That if it's Kodesh Pesach, then you don't need Me'achshav, then we know. Then the due date came, and at that point, it becomes the Malvis. So then what's the problem? So what do you need Me'achshav? That's the Torah's father. Okay, so that's a separate, self-contained discussion. Let's go weiter, the end of Siman Tav Mem Aleph. This is all the race of the Mishnah, right? Now we're tracking the second part of the Torah. Avo, or the Yisrael Shevel Enoch V'yachem. So, now we have the other case, the Malvis of Jew. The non-Jew supplies the mashkin of the chametz. Again, what's required here to say it's the Jew's chametz? In mishkino biyado, that's hirhino. V'amalo me'achshav, condition number two. And then, of course, that he defaults. V'higiyaz man afil achar pesach, again, not like the Rambam, whenever the time comes. V'lo paro, usher, because it's viewed as, whose chametz? The Malva, the Jew's. The low paro, so then vafiru in achrayis alav, the kanilum afihizu, and the issue of achrayis, we're going to soon see in the rush, says the Torah, afiru in achrayis alav, kanilum afaya. In other words, it's the Jew's chametz. But, now let's look carefully. Avo, im lo omer lo meyachshav. Here, there's a certain twist here. Let's say the non-Jew didn't say meyachshav. This is now the case of Yisrael HaMalvin. So it's the Jew's chametz. The non-Jew supplies chametz for the as a mashkin. They didn't say me'achshav, but he gave it to him. Apish and mishkino biyado muter. Why? Because whose chametz is it? The non-Jews. But one thing we have to another curveball has to always have to be thought about, because what's the halacha of a non-Jew's chametz b'shus Yisrael? It's clear cut mutter depends on another factor. Kabbalah sachrayis. V'hu she'en achrayis al Yisrael. She'im hay achrayis al Yisrael afil pikad b'yam v'chay l'varo. So here the Torah brings in other words, in the first case, where there was a me'achshav, it doesn't have, he didn't have to mekabel achrayis. It's his because of the Tanai. But in a case where there was no me'achshav, the only way we can still say it's not a Jew's chametz, it's a non-Jew's chametz, is when the Jew is not mekabel achrayis. So here we have another dimension. And that's, again, with everything else going on here with the Mishnah, there's another variable that has to be thought about. And that variable we already saw in Tosfos addressed. If you remember, go back to your Tosfos, and on the end of that little Tosfos on Lamed Aleph on the base, Tosfos says, right? The Kula Shmaitin, right? You see the end of the Tosfos, Shekona Mashkin? The last two words of the lines of the Tosfos. The Kula Shmaitin, Chemso Shonachi B'yad Yisrael, when we say that it's the non-Jewish Chametz B'yad Yisrael, and we say that it's going to be Mutter after Pesach, what did Tosfos say? Ayri Shalom Kibbol of Yisrael Chreis, the Kibbol of Habir Shalom, V'over of Kidmuch Perakam. So what did Tosfos tell us? That when we have a situation of non-Jewish chametz b'yad Yisrael, it's not as simple as saying, well, it's mutter after Pesach because it's non-Jewish chametz. But if there was Kabbalah Sachreis, he's accepting responsibility for something, if something will go wrong, he'll have to reimburse. That is enough to put Yisrael in violation. That's the notion for Kabbalah Sachreis. And just something else to notice, a chidush within that halacha. You see, that sugya, daf hei davav, is in terms of violating by Rabbi Matzah. Our sugya is another layer within that, because what is our mission discussing? On Pesach or after Pesach? After Pesach, which means a knas. If there was a bayi violation, then it would be us after Pesach. What I see, which we should point it out, we didn't yet, at the time we didn't point it out, that we're toast, because it's a whole discussion between Egim and Chav Gimel, this question, and the implications of this. But what you see in this Tosis is that the issue of, in the case of Yisrael, Shekibel Achrayis, on Chemso Shonachri, that's in the Yisrael's house over Pesach, that puts the Yisrael in violation, it's not just Nogeya Pesach itself, but it would have all the ramifications of Chametz to Avolav Pesach. That's Lechara Mefura Tosfos. Everyone see that? Now let's go back to the Rush. So before we source, so the Rush says, and this is how the Bach is going to learn the Rush, it's how we mentioned it yesterday, but let's go back and see the Rush and the Rush. The Rush, in discussing this combination of Me'achshav and Nehino.
The first one, right?
The Rush in Perek Sheni, yeah. Says the Rush, Hach Nachri Shehova as Yisrael Al Chemso, the first part of the Mishnah, Kim Naliba de Rava. According to Rava, we set it up. Kishirhino et Slo Udamre Knirech Me'achshav Mu'efaloch as Manproni, the Gizman below Paro. So if the case is Hirhino and Me'achshav, if I don't pay you, and that's what happened, he didn't pay. Sends the Rush. But Imlo Amala Me'achshav, Lo Kanele Nachri. If he didn't say Me'achshav, the Nachri wasn't Koneid, the Kamli Bishus of Yisrael, Vasa. And again, that's true because Mamaisa, it was not, it never became the Nachris. But here is the next key question of what the Rush means in the next line. V'chein Nami, Imlo Hirhino Etzlo. If it wasn't Hirhino, he said Me'achshav. And you need two conditions, Me'achshav, and three conditions. He had to default, but said Me'achshav, it was not Hirhino. Afagav Damar Me'achshav. Lo Gora Mechemso Shel Nachri B'Shus Yisrael Ve'achrayis HaYisrael, period. What do those words mean? What do those words mean? The Rush is telling us the reason why, if you have Me'achshav without Hirhino, that you'd have a problem here. The Nachri is the Malva. The Lova Yisrael says it is yours if I default. Me'achshav. But the Lova Yisrael did not deposit it in the house of the Nachri. Says the Rush, the Yisrael will be a problem of Chametz Avil or Pesach. The Mishnah Din would not be true. Will be usher after Pesach. Why? Lo gara mechemso shel nachri b'shus. What does that mean? Lo gara mechemso shel nachri b'shus Yisrael. Says the Bach. You can find this Bach here on the tour. The Dibra Maschil is the ha. It's on the second page of your 3-page packet. Baha de Mukminan, see it in the left margin to the side of the tour. Baha de Mukminan in the Bach. Baha de Mukminan la nami bishirhino etzlo. Hainu. Di ilo hirhino. Vadai us. Now what could we say? What do we know from the Rid, from the Riyas? If it's not Hirhino, there was no Kenyan, right? That would be a simple one. But what did the Rush say that? The Rush said something different. Sounds something different, right? Hainu de Ilohir Hino Vade Usr, the came into Ensha Meshicha Eino Elabitaras Mashke. There's no Meshicha, so then it's only a Mashke, but he's not actually giving it to him to acquire. So therefore, there was no Mashiach, there was not. But what would be if there was a Kenyan? Umina, Mina means by implication. The Im HaKino Lugoy B'Kenyan Gomor Olagav Karka. Let's say the low value Yisrael would be Maknet Me'achshav within a proper Kenyan. Afa B'Shelo Rehino Etzlo Nami Mutter. So who said this?
The Rid.
The Kiva the Amma Me'achshav, Kanele Lamafia, the In Yisrael Zeh, El Kimo Shar, Pikadin Shogoi, Shabiyad Yisrael, She'in HaYisrael Chai Be'achrayis Min HaStam, L'das HaRamban V'Rash V'di'imei. That sounds perfect, but there's one problem. The Rush didn't say this. Achein, continues the Bach, third wide line. Go ahead.
Is he saying that if you have Me'achshav,
if you have Me'achshav with Tarahino, so that there's no Maisakinyan for the Nachri to be able to now acquire it Me'achshav because there was no Maisakinyan, so then there'd be problem of the Jews' Chametz after Pesach. If it's the Jew who's the Malveh, so then it would be non-Jewish, unless the Jews' Mekabel Achrayis, then it could be its own problem. That's what the Ritz says. The Jews become achrayis. That could be an issue. But if it's by the lova over Pesach, not hirhino. So if there was no Maisa Kinyan, then if the Jew is the lova, it's a problem. But the Rav goes on. It says, but if there would be a proper Maisa Kinyan, then you don't need a Rehina. So far, it's exactly what the Ritz said. Says the Bach, but the only thing is, the Rosh doesn't say this. Achin harash gufe kasa. The Zelishono. He quotes what we just read in the Rosh. The chen nami im lo rehinu etzlo, afal gab de amale me'achshav, lo gara mechemtso shogoy b'shus Yisrael b'achvaris ha-Yisrael ad kan. So how does the Bach take this Rosh? Mashba de svirulate, he's taking the Rosh to mean that the Rosh is saying, without a rehinu, there's a problem that it's the Jews chametz with Kabbalah Sachrayis. Mashma, the spirit of the Kinyan Gomor. He's taking the Rosh to mean that even if there would be a Kinyan Agav Karka, a perfect Kinyan, just that it's sitting by the Jew of the Pesach. But he was marketed to the guy with a Kinyan, with a Me'achshav. It would still be a problem after Pesach. The Afgav David Kinyan Kinyan Gomor, says the Bach, within the Rosh. Afilachi Aser. The Eno Kemosha Stam Pikadon. It's not like an ordinary Pikadon. That if it's a Pikadon that's without the why, the Hacha Kiva Sheikar Mammon Shal Yisrael, because really, let's be honest, whose Mammon is it? Yes, he's making a Me'achshav here, but Lomaisa, who's owning this? Who does it belong to? Havle Bachriyusa Shal Yisrael, it's considered to be the Achrayus of the Jew. Min Hastam. That sounds like that's the assumption. That's the assumption. Commission's Bayer Besof Simon. It sounds like he's learning Pshat in the Rosh that we would have to assume that the Jew is Mekabel Achrayis if it's sitting by the Jew on Pesach. And then you have the problem of Chametz Shel Nochri B'Shus Yisrael B'Kibel Lav Yisrael Achrayis. That's the way the Bach is reading the Rosh.
What's the Chiddush? Doesn't the Gemara say if you're
Mekabel
Achrayis,
yes.
Is it different because there's a Nochri? What's the difference here?
So, I mean, the difference is that do we know for sure that that's the case, that he's Mekabel Achrayis? That's part of what we have to figure out. How did the Rosh know that without Hirhino, the Jews Mekabel Achrayis? The Riaz and the Piskei Rid said, yeah, if he gives him a Kinyan, whatever Kinyan it is, that it's the Nachri's Chametz, but provided, what did the Rid add? Remember, he saw the Piskei Rid. Provided that what, said the Piskei Rid? That he wasn't Kabbalah Chrayis. So it's interesting. So the Rid was sensitive to this issue. And comes the Rosh and says, with that, you know, Logora, now those Logora have to be looked at. Logora, that makes maybe room to start thinking the Rosh didn't mean it literally. But the Bach seemed to take the Rosh to mean that the assumption is that was Kabbalah Sachrayis. What's the Logora exactly? Hainuach, that's what it is.
Just the Pashat Machloket could be just, is there a Mistama Kabbalah Sachrayis? Do we assume?
That's right. But now we have two major earthquake questions on this. On this Pshat that the Bach is applying in the Rosh, this is what we did yesterday very quickly. Two major questions. Question? So question number one, and this is what everyone's asking, Kim Eger asked this in Simon Chaf Gimel, in the Tshuva, and it's in the back in the Kovetz as well. Mamish pella this Rosh, namely because then why? No, everyone jump out of your seats. L'char, why don't we start by saying in Shir? Oh, this is a rub. Vay doesn't need any of that. The Gemara says the Mishnah is good. Our answer is the very first time the Gemara addresses the Mishnah with Abay v'Rava. So v'Rava hachmas king shirino means Abay doesn't need a rino. But if the reason that a Rehino is necessary, as the Rosh is telling us, as the Bach is explaining in the Rosh, is because without a Rehino, it's Mistama viewed as the Achrayis of the Lova Yisrael, and then there'll be a problem after Pesach because of that, so then why is Abaye any different than Rava? Then a Rehino should be necessary for Abaye as well. That's the first major question on the Rosh.
Should we just as important to
buy it again? Yes, because if you say that without Hirhino, then it would be viewed as, it would be considered to be the achrayis of the Jew, the Lover, then Abaye should just because Avraham Afeu will go there, But meanwhile, where was the chametz situated over Pesach in the Israelis' possession? And mistam there was kabbalah sachrayis. What would happen if something would go wrong with this chametz? It would get ruined, so he'd have to replace. He'd have to pay. He wouldn't be able to give him this. So why isn't that called kabbalah sachrayis? That's one major kasha on the Rosh. Why is Abaye different?
Isn't this also a question on the riyaz, like with the rid? Because for the kinyan, you need hargino. So according to Baye, so you should also need hargino for the kinyan.
No, because the kinyan of me'achshav, we need a kinyan. The mafeo gover, for whatever reason, that's one of those questions harbors over the whole sugya from the beginning. Obviously, whatever it is, it is. We know that mafeo gover, there's nothing more except the fact that there's a shibud, and the shibud gives it to him from that moment. There is no explicit mention of a need for a kinyan. It seems to be, I mean, the way we thought in a lumbish fashion is, yeah, that's what shibud is. If I have a right to have it, based on Shiva, then that itself doesn't need any form of Maisa Kinyan. Otherwise, you have to say the Kesef of the Halva somehow serves as a Maisa Kinyan. That's what some Achronim want to think. But that's all you need to say. There's a Halva, there's a Shibud, and it's collected, and that makes it Umafei his. So there's no need for any special Maisa Kinyan. It's just the Shibud itself. But for Rav, this Me'achshav tonight needs a Maisa Kinyan. But the Rosh would be saying, according to the Bach, that even if there was a Kinyan, they gave it to the Nachri from now. But Hirhino is necessary because with absent Hirhino, it's viewed as an achrayis of the Jew. So why is the Abaye different?
Yeah,
go.
As you said yesterday, because he's paying back the chov, he's not necessarily.
So this is what we read yesterday. So I'm not going to go with the whole arichos, so because the Eger has a very complicated cheshbin. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a sense of what he does here, but at the end it doesn't work out for many reasons. So, I mean, it's just fascinating just to discuss it. He has mamish, it's ga'onis, I mean mamish, but he himself says, he was thinking the difference with Abaye has to do with the fact that we asked before, is it so pashut that chametz chametz of Pesach is us, right, knas. Okay, that's if it's mamish chametz for Yisrael. What about chametz shel nachri shekibul av Yisrael achrayis? Who says that for that case also it's us after Pesach? That's a chiddush, right? We said in Tosis, you see that's the way it is, because the discussion is after Pesach. There's this whole sugya talking about no kabbalah sachrayis. If there were kabbalah sachrayis, the din would be different, meaning after Pesach too. So you say it's like a little plug, whatever it is. No. But here's the thing. It is what it is. It is us. But here, Rav Kibbeger wants to say there may be a difference between Chametz shel Yisrael mamish, or Chametz shel nachri shekibul av Yisrael achrayis regarding after Pesach, and he wants to say an interesting chap.
Is there a beginning?
Yeah. This can give you not all the ins and outs of it, but the following approach. But again, it's not going to work in the end. But what's the halacha? Just stam yediyah b'yam. I'm asking you. Chametz shel av Pesach, right? It's us. Now we all know from the first parak, Eli, you can speak a lot about this, Yaakov, but you all guys know about this also, that midaraisa. What can you do to get around Bayirah? Midaraisa? Bitl. Bitl be'amasagi. You can do bitl. Kol chamira. Yimavatu yachametz. And Rabbanan, it's not sufficient. You have to actually find your chametz, destroy it. Not midarabbanan, not. But what's the halach of chametz shel av Pesach if you did bitl? If there's no bitl, it's mamish b'shuscha midaraisa as well, then we understand it's a knas after Pesach. But what if you did bitl? So we say it's still part of the knas, right? That's what we say. Lo pug, doesn't matter. But midrabanan, yeah, midrabanan, you had chametz and you didn't destroy it, it was by you. Since the Kinega here, Munt could argue there'll be a difference between chametz shel Yisrael mamish, where there's a lo pug, even if by bittel, it's still us after Pesach, and chametz shel nachri shekibul av Yisrael achrayis, that there, we could say that if you have bittul, there was bittul, there wouldn't be us. But here, it gets more sticky. Because now you have to ask yourself, is bittul even possible by chametz shel nachri shekibul av Yisrael achrayis? Because the Gemara says in the Sugya Yedaf Hei, that you can only do bittul if the chametz is yours. Let's say after the time the Torah makes it aser, you can't do bittul, that it's not yours. Now, there's halacha v'achrayis kidul chondam. It's like yours, virtually yours. But is that virtual ownership that makes you over by yiraya enough to allow you to do bittul? That's the Shagasaya. So the Shagasaya famously says, with the Pegimel, I think, that he has a whole Torah, that this is exactly the Isser Chametz of Los Ishchat, the Torah speaks about when a person would violate the law of Shechting Karm Pesach Al Chametz, is what type of Chametz? Maybe he did Bittu, how can you get Malkus? Maybe he did Bittu, how do you know? It's a Sra Safik, how can you give Malkus? The answer is there's a type of Chametz that Bittu doesn't work on. Shabbisai says, Chametz Shel Yisrael, Shekibu Abisach, Chametz Shel Nachri, that the Jews Mekabu Achrayis, even though it's kidul chom dami, but it's chametz that you can't do bittul. It's not really yours, the etzem, to do bittul. So Kivayegim wants to make a whole cheshbon here, that if it's a situation of chametz shel nachri, shekibo v'solach reis, then you're going to have a problem after Pesach, and that's what the Rashi would be saying, with that be a problem after Pesach, according to Rava, if it's me'achshav without hirhino, and it's Yisrael's mekabel achrayis, then you do have that problem after Pesach. Why? Because there was no bittul, because you couldn't do bittul. And there would be an issur after Pesach. Why is Abaye better? So listen to this. Why is Abaye better? Because, what did the Gemara say on a point of Abaye? And a mafeya who gofer, right? But we're talking metaltalin. If you go from metaltalin with your shibud, at the end, it's yours from before. But what does a lova have a right to do by metaltalin in the interim? If he wants to sell it, so then malva doesn't have a right to collect it anymore, right? Once the lova has enough in it to be able to sell the metaltalin, because metaltalin. So he says, what's bittul? Bittul, according to Tosis and Rishonim, is hefker. So, therefore, if the Lova would do bittul, it would work, right? It would work. So, therefore, you would not have the Isser after Pesach anymore. Because now, if you have bittul, then there's no Isser for Chametz Shel Nachri Shekibu Yisrael Chayis after Pesach. Okay. There's a lot of issue, problems in Cheshbon, but this is the basic outline of what he wants to say. You can figure out the problems yourself if you think about it. Something's going to be off, but he still could collect it, right? What's going on? I don't want to push it. And from the rush later, it's a lot of intricate Cheshbonus, but just to have those ideas are interesting. They quoted Rabbi Kivayegar on this issue, that the Chametz that had bittul on it, chametz shel nachri, if you could find that, if bittul would work, then it wouldn't have the issur after Pesach. Anyway, this is a little bit too big where he goes with this question. Let's go back to where we said yesterday on this question. That's our question. That's back to our question. So, yeah.
Why can't Rabbi Kivayegar's passage just like being like a little medayin like
Logar? So what is a Logar? So that's another question. Now, maybe the whole rush never meant what we thought, or maybe the rush didn't mean literally if there was achrayis. I'll give you a mashal. The Sfas Emes has a suggestion. He has a few suggestions. He thinks that the rush didn't mean kabos achrayis mamish. He just meant the fact that the Yisrael could be poder this mashkin. He could pay the chov. So that reality that he could pay the chov is logo. So he has a shaychis to this mama. What is achrayis? It's not yours, but you have a shaychis to it. You're achray for it. So all the rush meant was this matzav that you asked yesterday in Shir about, this matzav that he could be pulled. We see this in the Rambam. This issue plays out in the Rambam, as you probably saw. In other words, he has to differentiate this matzav from here and from the case of the Rambam. You have to differentiate somehow. But he wants to say that this mitzius, that the lova has the option of being able to keep this by him, that's what the rush means. That's Mugar Mekabos Achrayis. It's a whole new reading of the rush. It's not what the Bach said in the rush. You understand? Because of these issues, then of course it solves the problem. And he himself acknowledges, but Lamaisa, the Magen Avraham, that it's not really a machokas, the Rid and the rush. It's a whole different word that the rush is saying. The Bach took for granted, and so did the Magen Avraham, that there's machokas between the rush and the Rid. If he made a real Maisa Kinyan, according to the Rashi, would not be enough. It's considered Kabbalah Sachvayis. So now we have the obvious kasha. There's a second kasha, but when I said this, because of this kasha, for example, if you were, how people were troubled by this kasha, the Karban Nisanel, right, on the bottom of the Rush, says, the Bach is totally wrong in Pshat in the Rush. The Rush couldn't mean this. And one of the kashas, he asks, is this kasha? Yes, other kashas. Os Yud. Ein Lefarish, what did the Rush, on the Yud, the Os Yud and Karban Nisanel, right? Lo Gara, right? Lo Gara Mechem Soshanachim Bishus Yisrael, Vachvay Yisrael Yisrael. Says the Karban Nisanel, Ein Lefarish, Kimoshe Pirish HaBach, B'simetaf Nimalv, we just read the Bach. Even if there was a real Kenyan, the Enoch Moshapi Kadam, the Hacha Kivin, the Ika Mamma Shayisra, Havalabach Musa Shayisra, and Astam, the MK, in fact, the Covenant Sanel, Lamai the Kasalka Daitach, the Masnishan Iri below here, he know, Lamanda Amo Mafea Hukona, right? According to Mandam, that missions without a Rino Kota Baye. With the day, God gave fiction. He must need some Tanako Shovas Yisrael, Alchem Sacha Pesach, and my Mutabana. Kim and Dadan Bian Yisrael, Gormichem Sushanachi, the base Yisrael, Bachmai Sal Yisrael. Mamish the Kasha that the Covenant Sano asks. Mamish this Kasha, Kivegas Kasha. Says the Or Sameach, I think, the Chiluk that we said over yesterday in Shir. Maybe there's a difference between the Achrayis that we would be thinking about within Abaye, and the Achrayis over here. The emesis, and this is another right of Kibegas Peshat, is not going to work. Later on in the Rush, if you take a look in the Rush addresses Abaye, Lamafei, says there was no Kabbalah Sachrayis. So what do you mean? Here he says it is Kabbalah Sachrayis, and then he says it's not Kabbalah Sachrayis. So it must mean that in the context of Abaye, Lamafei, it's not Kabbalah Sachrayis. It's something different. Why is it different? We spoke out yesterday. Because when it comes to Abaye, if something happens to the chametz, so what's the pshat that the lova has to pay? Is it that he's replacing the chametz? What is it rather? It's that he's paying the chov. Because l'mafeyahu gova means that this chametz becomes the malvez l'mafeya for payment of the chov. But if that's only if, in fact, the malvez successfully collects the chametz. If something happens to the chametz, then the chov is unpaid. So that's not called, second, it's not called that the assumption that I have to pay the chov if something goes wrong, it's not as good as paid, never was paid. That's not achrayis. What's achrayis? Over here. What's over here? So here you have to say like this. Here's a chat, you have to say like this. May I say me'achshav, I say, well, if I don't pay, the chametz is yours. The chametz may or may not exist. It may get ruined. But this chametz is yours, me'achshav. So be'etzem, whose chametz was it? Even if the chametz was not collected from this chametz. But who owned the chametz, me'achshav? The other guy, the malvin, the nachri. But if misdama, we assume that if it's sitting by me, that implicitly the Yisrael halobes mekabel achrayis, so what does that mean in effect? That on this chametz of the... Because the tenai was fulfilled. The tenai was fulfilled. The debt wasn't paid. The chametz belonged to belonged to the nachri hamalvin. But the Jew implicitly, since it was by him, we assume that's how the rush would have to be would mean for chora, leaving out the lo gara lasha. But we try to explain that too. But for now, the assumption is that the Jew is mekabel achrayis. So what does that mean? That your chametz was by me and I'm absorbing the loss means I replace it for you. It's a typical case, classic textbook case, of a nachri deposits chametz by a Jew who's a shomer, who's mekabel achrayis. If something happens, I will replace it, whatever standard achrayis, and that is enough to subject the Jew to bal yirah. So this is called kabbalas achrayis, because it's mamish chametz shel nachri, Bishus Yisrael, and we're going to assume that if it's not Hirhino, if it's by the Yisrael, then the Yisrael is basically saying, come what, if something happens to your chametz, I'm replacing it. That's Achrayis. But Abaye is not that way. And Abaye, what's the pshat l'mafeyahu gova? That he collects from the chametz, then it's considered to be his from the beginning. But the chametz wasn't collected from. So why does he have to pay now? Because the chametz was by him. Because the chov was unpaid. So it's not kabbalas achrayis of the chametz. Yidachap. It's a different word. So it's not called kabbalas achrayis. If it belongs to the Jew, to the nachri, but the assumption is that the Yisrael is in the kabbalas achrayis to replace it, then it's replacing what was yours. That's kabbalas achrayis. But for Abaye, it's not that. It's that it never became. It's because I have to pay the chov. Now, we did pick yesterday because l'chora there could be applications of a kabbalas achrayis where if the mammon of the other person of the non-Jew is protecting my assets, that's also kabbalas achrayis. So maybe you could say the same thing over here, but it's still different because it could be that the idea of protecting assets is because I could partner myself with this. But here, basically, it's not pshat that I'm becoming partner with it. I lost my excuse. It's that the chov is simply unpaid. It's like something. It's still different. It's different than even those examples. You had a right to collect from it, okay? But l'maisa, now I have a new obligation to pay you for the chov. Anyway, so that would be. But the chov should be clear to everybody. Why wouldn't we call kavod? It's a very big difference in terms of the cases. By Abaye, it's paying the chov. It's not replacing the chametz. But me'achshav, it's replacing the chametz. But all of this is assuming about me'achshav, that even if the chov was defaulted, that chametz from now belonged to the malchut. The truth is, with the kibeger, and I see why he couldn't learn this, the kibeger again in Alom Tshuva assumes that what me'achshav is has another aspect to the Tanai. The Tanai is, if I default, and you want this to be yours from now, it's yours from now. Meaning, if the Malva doesn't want it, so then it never was. It never was the Malva's. So then the Achrayis of the Rush would have to mean no different than Abaye, because it means the chov wasn't paid. What we're saying is, no matter what happens, I pay, I don't pay, but something happens, but it was yours. It's your loss, technically, but I'm willing to replace it. That's called Kabbalah Sachrayis. That's what the Rashi would be saying. But if you assume that Snaida Me'achshav is all subject to your approval, if you want to have it Me'achshav, it'll be yours. If you want it, you don't want it Me'achshav, it won't be yours. It's all up to you. Then it's no different than the case of Abaye. Because it comes out he doesn't want it, so then the Chov is unpaid and it never became paid. So then it's the same Achrayis. But this would be a very proper Mahalach. That is one issue with the Rush. Coming out of time here, but the other major clash in the Rush that we left you hanging yesterday, so we are going to have to leave you hanging again today, but there's what to say on this. And this is what the end of the previous siman in the Torah, you'll take a look at that, that's what the Torah quotes, at the end of Tav Mem. It's the Rush in the first parak. So that's the other kasha. The Sfasemis asks this kasha also. What is the kasha? What's the second kasha in the Rush?
The
Sefer in the Mishnah. Hazumi, whatever's in the Reisha is in the Sefer. What are the conditions for the Mishnah to make sense for Rava? Me'achshav, Hirhino, and it was defaulted. The three conditions that the Torah lays out, at least. Right? So the question now will be, the Rush gave an explanation for the Reisha, why you need Hirhino if you have Me'achshav, because otherwise you have the Achrayis of the Jew, and it'll be a problem after Pesach because of that. Now flip it to the mirror side of the Mishnah, the second half of the Mishnah. Yisrael the Malva. The Nachri deposits the chametz by the Yisrael and says Me'achshav and defaults later, and that's when the chametz is asher after Pesach. If those conditions are not met, all three of them, then the chametz would be mutter after Pesach. Why all the three conditions? Me'achshav, because otherwise, right, then it was a non-Jew's chametz. What about if you didn't have why did Hirhina? So what would you have to say to plug in for the Rush? So for the read, it's simple. There's no Kenyan. Right? But if there was a Kenyan, what do you need Hirhina? Because otherwise, implicitly, if it's by the Lovet, then the Lovet is Mekablach rights. So what would that mean practically? If you have Yisrael's Chametz, because Me'achshav makes it Yisrael's, because he defaulted, that was situated by the Lovet Nachri over Pesach, And the Loba Nachri was Mekabel Achrais, and that Chametz. Then, what would this mean? Yisrael would be Patur. So what's the problem? Because the Rush brings Machlokas. Yesh Min HaGaonim, who hold that very halach. That's the end of the Taf Mem in the Torah, and the Rush in Perek Aleph. That the Yisrael deposits Chametz by another Jew or by a non-Jew. And that party was Mekabel Achrais, so they say, based on the Mechilta that they darshan, the Rush of the Mechilta, that the Machkid is not violated by Yerai Matzei, since it's Bishus of a Nifkad who is Mekabel Achrais. That seems to be what the Gaonim hold. Okay? And what does the Rush say in response? So if you go with that Shita, then that, plug that in over here? Okay, so if it's non-Jew who is Mekabel Achrais of the Jews' Chametz, so the Jew is not violated by Yerai, so the Chametz is Mutter. Problem is that the Rush, as the Torah concludes Tafnem, the Ben Yonah argues, was there Hiskim Adon Yavi Yerasa? The Rush argues on the Gaonim. So you have to look. So if the Rush argues, it means it's Israel's Chametz violation, even though the Nifkad Hanachri, for example, was Mekabel Achrais. So why would Hirhino be necessary? Even without Hirhino, the din should be the same in the Sefer of the Mishnah. Everyone hear the Kasha? Yes, yes, everyone? Why would you need Hirhino in the Sefer to make the Jew violated by Rav, to make it Aser after Pesach, even with that, you know, with the logic that we have in the Rush, if it's Yisrael's Chametz, but the non-Jew is Mekabel Achrayis, Me'ach should make the Yisrael's Chametz, notwithstanding the Kabbalah's Achrayis of the Lova and Achri, it's still violating by Rav for the Jew. So here's what you have to start thinking. Maybe, can't give you much more because the time is a little out, but maybe there's a difference between the case in the first parak in the Rush of a standard shomer where the Rush holds, not like the Gaonim, and he says that Yisrael would violate Bayeroa, and the case over here of a Malva Velover, and this is why the Rush uses the Lashon in the first case when he talks about the case of the Nachriya Malva of Logara, because there's something better about this case. And the same reason why he uses a logara language, Rabbi the Resha, could be the reason why in the Sefer it could be better. Here the Rush would agree to the Gaonim. That's why what you think about the Svara. And maybe that could be the solution to this Kasha. Then from that we got to the Rambam, that's the middle part of the Rush. The Rambam and the Mishnah, the Ran, and the question of Hoel, that's going to be a Mishnah in the next, that's for tomorrow, okay? Okay.